Can we just get somebody to testify how great God is? We believe he's a great God, amen? We've only been talking about it for a few weeks now, so hopefully we get it now that God is a great, great God. I love that song. It's your breath in our lungs. So what do you do with that breath? We pour out our praise. We don't trickle it out. We should pour out our praise to you only because he's worthy, amen? Listen, it's Memorial Day weekend, and we always remember the sacrifice that was made so that we can assemble here in a free country to worship God. I'm grateful for the sacrifices that were made to all of those who served in the military, and that's what that's about. It's not just a three-day weekend, but it's an opportunity to remember the sacrifices that were made for those that laid down their lives for us to have the freedom. Are you grateful for the freedom that we have today? You realize that in some parts of the world, there are people that are they're assembling together, but it's underground, it's private, it's dangerous for them to be able to worship God. And I think we take that for granted here in the great state of Texas, and we can just show up anytime we want and worship a God who's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise always, no matter how we're feeling, no matter if we're asleep, no matter if we're having a bad week, he's worthy of our praise. Amen? All right, come on, you're going to have to help me out this morning, church. I've not had enough caffeine, so I appreciate the feedback any you might give. So one more thing before we kick off this morning. Parker, where you at, buddy? Stand up, Parker. Parker Shivak has been here as an intern from Dallas area, serving Living Water, and he's going home this next Saturday. So this is his last Sunday with us, and I just want us to give him a thank you for coming up here to serve Living Water. Thanks, Parker. It was a culture shock for him coming up from Dallas. He was not used to no cars on the highway. He was not used to the high winds every single day. He came up here when the wildfires were going on. I'm like, I promise it's not this way all the time. But he's been an asset to the church, a blessing to me and the family, and just the staff. Parker, love you, buddy. And man, I love his church where he comes from. I love his pastor where he sits at. If I was in the Dallas area, I'd be going to that church. I love them. They're just a good group of people there. And so we're grateful that you were able to spend some time. Hopefully we'll see you again soon in the future. As Marcelo said, not the book of Lamentations, that would be laminated, but Lamentations. And I don't blame him for missing that one because it's one that we hardly look at. But it's the, usually I want to try to just dig deep into the text, but today it's more of a topical in nature. But we're talking about the character of God, the attributes of God. And the series that we started a few weeks ago was How Big Is Your God? And it's really a question I think that we ponder from time to time, like just how big is this God that we worship, this God that we serve? And sometimes, frankly, I feel like a cheerleader on the stage or a salesman. And I'm convinced that what I'm sharing you is the best news ever. Amen? And I'm trying to convince or persuade you that we serve a great God, a big, big God. And so the reason for the series was, you know, if your view of God is a low view, like you don't understand who he is or how he operates, then life's gonna wreck you. There are going to be seasons in life when you're going to hurt and you're going to question, God, are you there? God, do you care? God, do you love me? Do you see me? But when we elevate our view of who God is, we get to know who he is, like spending time with him, digging into his word, understanding who God is, his attributes, his character, it changes everything. Now we go through the same stuff in this life and it's hard, but we know that God's good. And we may hit some things that just seem unbearable, but we know that there's a God in control somehow. I may not understand it. I may not see all the workings, but I just know that there's somebody that's in control. And I know there's somebody that loves me. And I know that when I mess up and I blow it so bad that there's somebody who still loves me. Some of you need to hear that. That we serve a great and mighty God. And the more we understand who God is, it just helps us navigate life better. That's the whole purpose. I just want you to know God. I want you to know him at a deeper level because he's worthy of our praise and he really, really is a great, great God. So Lamentations, I want to read just this verse here that we, you know, the theme of God's faithfulness is all throughout scripture. There's so many verses. I didn't even know where to start when I was putting this together, just thinking about how do you tell people about the faithfulness of God? And so I was led to Lamentations. There's a few others. In fact, I'll give them to you. Psalm 36:5 says, "Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds." Are you grateful this morning for his unfailing love? His faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Psalm 98:8 says, "O Lord, God of heaven's armies, where is there anyone as mighty as you, O Lord? You are eternally faithful. Not just sometimes, but eternally. He is, it goes to his very character, he is faithful. Psalm 119, 90 says, your faithfulness extends to every generation. Aren't you grateful that he wasn't just faithful to like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He's like, that's it, I'm done with you guys. But from generation to generation to generation, he says, your faithfulness extends to every generation, as enduring as the earth you created. We serve a God who is a faithful, faithful God. And so Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, Jeremiah is the author of this letter, and he says this, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Did you think about that this morning when you woke up? Yeah, there's a fresh batch of mercy that you're ready to show your people. Your mercies are new every morning. He says, I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. And that's what we're talking about, is our hope in a God who is worthy to be trusted, right? He is somebody who's proven and demonstrated over and over and over that he's worthy of you placing your hope and your faith and your trust in him. He is a faithful God. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 says, the Lord passed in front of Moses. You know, the cleft of the rock, Moses is there. And it says, the Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord. This is God speaking. The God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Aren't you glad that we serve a faithful God? Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and as we just try to unpack how amazing your faithfulness is, God, I know that we're only going to scratch the surface, but I humbly ask that you just give us ears to hear, hearts to perceive your truth, and to see you in a different light maybe today. I know that we're limited in our ability to understand things because of our humanness. We tend to mess things up and see things through a skewed lens, but God, we want to see you today. We want to know you on a deeper level, and we want to grow more in our faith of your faithfulness, Lord, just in trusting you. And so, God, I ask that you would just be with us now, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. So we talk about God's faithfulness. Our first, I guess, experience is on a human level. When we say faithful, we look at Webster's dictionary, and faithful is usually translated as reliable or trusted. We might say the chair that you sat in when you came into church today is faithful. It's reliable. It's trusted. You didn't think about it when you sat down in that chair. You just plopped down and knew that it would hold you up. That's a faithful chair. Are you following me? You might say that of a car. I get this car. Every time I turn the key, it leaves me stranded. It's just a faithful car. I can count on it no matter what. Some of you horse people, you're like, I got this horse. It's bomb proof. It's faithful. I can put anybody on it. I'm not worried at all. And so we understand faithful to be reliable or to be trusted. Another way we look at it is in relationships. You see marriages, and you make these covenants with one another, and you're faithful to one another, maybe a business partnership or good friends. But we also, in our humanity, understand the unfaithfulness, don't we? Probably more that than the faithful part. All of us have experienced something that's broken down. Maybe that car left you stranded on the side of the road. You're like, old faithful wasn't faithful anymore. Or maybe it's that chair that you trusted for years, and you sat back and you reclined and it dumped you in the floor. You're like, well, that never happened before. It wasn't reliable. It was reliable until it wasn't reliable, but it became unreliable. Maybe that horse that you saddled up 1,000 times, you put that saddle blanket on and you didn't notice a little burr under its saddle. How many of you know what's going to happen with that? You cinch down a saddle and that horse is the best bucking bronc you've ever seen. And you're like, oh, faithful wasn't faithful today. We understand the concept of unfaithfulness because we've experienced some of those things with things that were supposed to be reliable but that are not reliable. Sadly, we've also experienced that on a relational level. We've all experienced unfaithfulness, whether it be a betrayal of a friend, whether it be a broken marriage, a business that went south. I think we understand the idea of faithfulness and unfaithfulness. The problem is when we encounter life and we're doing life, we carry that understanding, those experiences over into our idea of what God might be like. And it looks something like this. You go through a difficult season and you might question, God, can I still trust you? This is getting scary. God, I'm stepping out here, and it's getting, you know, kind of dangerous, and I don't know. God, are you still with me? I've had people say, man, I don't even know that God, I mean, I would give up on me by this time, but God, are you still with me? Do you still love even me after what I've done? See, the idea of this faithfulness is we carry that over to God, and we tend to sometimes attach this label to God. We won't say it, but by our life and our actions, we might live as though we think that God is not trustworthy or that he's not dependable or reliable. But when we talk about God, we're talking about something completely foreign to our finite understanding. There's no one like God, amen? We've been talking about his characteristics that he is omnipotent, meaning he possesses all power. There's no one else that has the power that God has. He created out of nothing the world that we live on today with the breath of his mouth. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? We talked about his omniscience, that he knows everything, past, future, and present, all at the same time. Nobody else has that ability, but God does. He has all wisdom. We talked about the fact that he don't just love, but it's his very character. God is love. It just emanates from him. That's who he is. It's his characteristics. He's everywhere all the time. We can go on and on and on about the attributes of God, but he's also eternal. And because he's eternal, all of these attributes, these characteristics are also infinite and eternal. When we talk about the faithfulness of God, we're talking about something that looks different than what we experience here in life. And so the verse we read a moment ago, the word faithful there is the Hebrew word emet. And it means also truth, stability, reliability. And the idea is that we can trust God. He's reliable. How many know God's reliable? How do you know he's trustworthy? He's stable. In fact, he's the ultimate source of truth. That's another thing that gets lumped in when you talk about this characteristic of God is his veracity or his truthfulness. He is the standard of truth. And so there's no one else to say, God, you're doing it wrong. He's the ultimate source of truth. And because he is truth, he's faithful. Because what he says is truth. It goes to his very character. And so I ask the question as we're in this series, how big is your God? The question is, can you rely on him? And we know the Sunday school answer, don't we? What is it? All right, for the five of you that are paying attention, I really appreciate that. No, I know you're listening, but really, I mean, if you just say, can we trust God? Well, yeah, we trust God. But whenever life gets hard, when we're by ourselves, sometimes we wrestle with that. Sometimes we struggle with that. God, man, you're working for them over there, but how about me? I've had people before say, I tried that Christianity thing, and it just didn't work for me. God didn't work for me, and so I'm going a different route. I'm like, yeah, good luck with that. Because God is the source of all of our hope. He is a faithful, faithful God. And so the question is, what do you focus on? Now, the reason I use Lamentations is because it's something kind of significant going on here. Now, God makes these promises that even today are still yet unfulfilled. The nation of Israel, the possession of the land, they have not truly understood and seen the fulfillment of that promise of God. But I do believe 100% that it will be realized some point in the future. Why? Because God is faithful to his word. If he said it, he's not going to back up on it. Amen? So it starts with Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. Abraham, probably 75 years old, God says, Abraham, leave the town that you live, and I want you to go to the place I'm going to show you. For me, can I get a Google map? Can you drop a pen? Can you give me something to follow? No. Abraham, by faith, begins this journey with God because God told him to go. At the age of 99, Abraham is given this covenant by God, and he's promised that he would inherit the land. And so this promise keeps going on and on and on. And eventually we get to the children of Israel are established in the land, but their hearts turn from God. In fact, they're committing spiritual adultery on God. They're being unfaithful to God. And so God sends this prophet, Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet. In his first letter, by his name, Jeremiah, he spends 40 years warning Israel. Guys, God's not going to put up with this. You better shape up, or God's going to bring his judgment on us. 40 years with no repentance, no response, no effects, but faithfully warning of the impending judgment of God that would come. That's Jeremiah. It's all pointing forward to God's judgment's coming. If you don't fix this, God's judgment's coming. You better straighten up. And then you get to Lamentations, also Jeremiah, on the other side of God's judgment being realized. This is like a funeral. It's the death of a nation. Everything that they knew, that they had experienced, their home was now in just rubble. The temple is destroyed. King Nebuchadnezzar comes in, the Babylonian captivity, conquers Jerusalem, knocks down the walls. There's smoke, there's ash all around them. Absolutely devastating to Israel. And Jeremiah laments. That's what lamentation is. It's a kind of like a dirge, a funeral song, if you will. Five songs, five chapters, and in it, he's just lamenting about how terrible things are. He realizes that the result of what they're experiencing is because God told them that it would happen. God is a man of his word, right? And he made these promises, and because they didn't do what they do, God allows this to happen. Yet in the midst of that judgment, there's still hope. Jeremiah, at the end of his letter, would speak of a future hope when God would once again restore Israel. God is faithful in that. But in this season, Jeremiah recognizes it's so bad that the parents have turned to cannibalism, something we would think would be unheard of. But he speaks of families having to eat their own young. Like, wow, that's just a bad, bad way. And yet in the midst of that devastation, in the midst of the worst time of their lives, Jeremiah goes back to this truth of God's faithfulness. He chooses to focus on it. I'll give you a little bit more context now, but in Lamentations chapter 3, he's talking about how hard things are. In verse 19, he says, "The thought of my suffering and my homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet, I still dare to hope." I love that. No matter how bad it gets for Jeremiah, he's like, man, it is terrible. This hurts beyond anything I've ever experienced, but yet I still dare to hope. When I remember this, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. And it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline. Let them sit alone in silence beneath the Lord's demands. Let them lie face down in the dust, for there may be hope at last. Let them turn the other cheek to those who strike them and accept the insults of their enemies. For no one is abandoned by the Lord forever. This little section here in Lamentations sits like a diamond in the lump of a big old piece of coal. All this dark, all this negative. And yet, Jeremiah reminds us of the faithfulness of God. And we would see the return later in history. And so, just this idea of God's faithfulness. What do we mean by that? I would like to share with you four aspects of God's faithfulness. What do we mean when we say God's faithful? We see it in his consistency of his promises. God is the ultimate promise keeper. If he says something, he's going to do it. And we should never second guess that because God is a man of his word. Going back to Genesis chapter 12, he makes a promise, Genesis 17, a promise to Abraham. He's now 99 years old. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. You and your wife are old, but I'm going to give you a son. They're like, man, that doesn't happen. And God said, yeah, it will. And it did. He said, I'll make you a great nation, and I'm going to be your God. You'll be my people. And I'm going to give this promise of this land, all this land that you now see that he led him to, it's all going to be yours. And not only yours, but generations later, it's going to be theirs. Later, God confirms that same promise, that covenant that he made with Abraham's son Isaac in Genesis 26. Isaac, I made this promise to your father Abraham that I'm going to give him this land. And from generation to generation, I'll be their God, you'll be my people. He confirms that promise, that covenant. We see it again in Genesis chapter 28. God confirms the same covenant with Jacob. So it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob is 130 years old when they finally get to Egypt. They're going to Egypt because there is a famine in the land. And it started off good because that's where God would take care of and provide for the nation Israel. But we know the rest of the story that it would turn into slavery. And then God would raise up a leader named Moses that would lead them out of Egypt. And Moses, this great leader in Deuteronomy, reminds them of why God did what he did for them after he led them out of Egypt. Listen to what he says. For you are a holy people. Remember, last week we talked about the holiness of God. It means set apart. You're peculiar. You're unique. And Moses reminded them, Moses reminded them, you're a holy people. You're set apart who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. Out of everybody, he chose you. The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you, and he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's just keeping his promise. This is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. I think we understand consistency in his promises. That's what we mean when we say God is faithful. He just is the ultimate promise keeper. Aren't you glad for that? He doesn't change his mind on those promises. When we say he's faithful, we're always speaking of his unchanging nature. And this is an important one for all of us, because if God were like us and just woke up in a bad mood one day, he might change his mind and it would not be good for the rest of us. Can you imagine the disaster that would be if God changed who he was? This is another one of those attributes that we talk about, is the immutability of God, meaning he does not change. In Malachi chapter 3, he says, I am the Lord God, and I do not change. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not consumed, meaning like, hey, I don't change. And it's good for you that I don't change, because if I did change, I might change my mind about you. What a disaster that would be. So we say God is faithful. We're saying God is faithful because of his unchanging nature. The consistency provides a foundation of trust for believers, knowing that God's character and his commitments, remain stable. He is unchanging. Aren't you glad God doesn't change? When we say he's faithful, we're talking about his providence and his protection. Throughout the Bible, God's faithfulness is demonstrated to many people, many different times, many different ways. He's demonstrated his faithfulness and his protection, his provision for all of his people. Psalm 91, one of my favorite Psalms that I memorized years ago, because it was a praise song that we sang, and it made it easy to remember. But he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say to the Lord, he's my refuge, my God, in him will I trust. Right? That's Psalm 91. Verse 4 says, he will cover you with his feathers, he will shelter you with his wings, his faithful promises are your armor and protection. So we see this picture of protection, his faithful protection of his people. His providence, his providing for many people. I think it'd be cool if we could just visit some of those Old Testament saints today, maybe even the New Testament guys we talk about, and ask them the question, hey, was God faithful? I think everyone would be like, oh, let me tell you what God did. Sometimes it's hard for us to see on this side, but I've always been a believer in hindsight's 20/20. Anybody else with me on that one? I mean, you're going through the hardest season of your life, and you can't see God in any of it. And you get on the other side of it, you're looking back, you're like, wow, I just saw God here, I saw him there, I saw him at this turn. Hindsight is 20/20. I think if you could ask some of the Old Testament saints and even Christians, the generation before us and on, is God faithful? And they say, oh, let me tell you how he provided for me. Let me tell you he protected me. I should not be here today. I shouldn't be here. There's so many dumb things that I did as a young man that I shouldn't be here literally today, but God had a plan. I think my mom was on her knees praying too. That's another blessing that I had along the way, that mama was praying a lot. But God's faithful to protect and provide. And I think the big one for me, the mother of them all, is the forgiveness and the redemption of God. When we say God is faithful, he's faithful to keep his word when it comes to your salvation. The Apostle Paul said it this way, I know whom I have believed in. I know. I'm confident of this. Of whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded, I'm convinced, I am sold on this truth, that he's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. That's assurance. Amen? And so we say God is faithful. He's faithful to keep his promise of forgiveness and redemption. I don't have to worry. Is there a plan B? I know the gospel of Jesus Christ, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's good news. But as a follower of Christ, I know the significance of forgiveness, because guess what, y'all? I'm a pastor and I still sin. Yes, and so do you. Amen? We're broken people. We're messed. Some of y'all are messed up really bad. I'm just going to say that. We're messed up people. But I draw comfort in the faithfulness of God from 1 John 1:9, one of my favorite verses, because I use it a lot. God, you said, if I confess my sins, you are. Help me out, church. You're faithful. You're reliable. You're dependable. I can trust in you. God, if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Aren't you grateful for his faithfulness when it comes to your forgiveness, your redemption? So what should it do for us? What are the effects that it has on us as believers? Well, I think it should develop within us trust and confidence. Think about for a second, you get to know somebody and you're like, man, I know them, and you develop a trust, and then maybe there's a betrayal, or they hurt you, they let you down, they didn't follow up on what they said they would do, and now that's broken, and it's hard to just, I don't know if I can trust them again. And so this idea of getting to know someone, building this stability, this reliability, like, they're just bomb-proof, like the horse, man. I can call them any time of the day. They're going to be there. They're faithful. You don't understand that. You don't truly fully understand that until you get to know them on a deeper level. And that's what I'm saying about God is, we get to know him on a deeper level. We're like, God, I just know. I trust you. I can rely on you in this life. It should develop within us trust and confidence. Understanding God's faithfulness helps believers develop deep trust and confidence in him. This trust is essential for enduring trials and uncertainties, knowing that God will not abandon them. It's comforting to know that if this world goes sideways, there's one that said he would never leave us nor forsake us. It's good to know that I can have confidence that he will lead me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. He'll show you which way to go. He'll guide you in this life when you trust him with your heart. You lean not on your own understanding, but you submit to him. Trust, confidence. His faithfulness in response, to his faithfulness, this is one of those communicable attributes, meaning it's an attribute that he shares with creation. So like he's omniscient. He shares, we have some wisdom and some knowledge, so he shares that with us. He is omnipresent. He doesn't share that with us. We're not everywhere all the time. Wouldn't that be cool? Might get a few things done throughout the week. But there's some that he shares with his creation. There's some he don't. But this is one that he does. And he shares with us this idea of faithfulness. He's faithful, and therefore we, as his people, should also strive to be faithful in our commitments. Amen? To emulate his faithfulness. So that should be a response for us. God's faithfulness inspires believers to be faithful in their own lives, emulating his reliability in their relationships and commitments. So we should be faithful as he is faithful. Another thing that it should do for us is it should build up within us hope and perseverance. When times get tough, and times do get tough, there's just this hope. I love the word hope. The word hope is a special word. It means a confident expectation of something that's coming. We don't see it yet, but we know it's there. And it's not blind faith. Some people on the outside looking in goes, you Christians, you're a narrow-minded, blind faith. No. It's based on a solid character of God. And his promises and his actions in the past, in my life, but throughout scripture, I've got so much evidence to stand on when it comes to putting my hope in the Lord. Amen? It should develop within us this hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I love that song. Speaks of our hope. It should develop within us this hope, this perseverance to know that even though life is hard, even though we experience some hardships, I just know that I can't see it now. It's like looking at the back of my grandma used to knit and all that stuff. If you looked at the back side of the knitting, it looked like trash. You're like, Grandma, you need to go to school and learn how to do this. No, you're on the wrong side of the quilt, honey. And you get on the other side, you're like, oh, wow, that's beautiful. But on the backside, all you see is the knots, you know, the loops that come out there. Are you following me? The tapestry, right? From our perspective, we look at it, it's a mess. And we're like, God, what are you doing? This hurts. I don't understand. And God's like, you're just on the wrong side of the blanket of eternity. And one day you'll get on the other side and you'll see the beautiful picture, the beautiful portrait that I've made of your life. And we know in our hearts that even though it hurts and we don't understand it, that we know that God causes all things to work together for good of those that love him are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Amen? It's like, God, I don't know how you're going to use this, but I just know that you can and that you will. And again, hindsight's 20/20. Sometimes you have to get on, you know, down the road a ways and look back and go, I see exactly how God used that moment in my life. You know what, God? You're so faithful. Peace and security. To have this assurance, to know that God's faithful, that one day when this life is over, I don't have to worry about, did God change his mind? God has already made a way for me to have the confidence and the expectation that one day when I close my eyes in this life, I will open them in glory and I'll be with him for eternity. I don't know about you, but that brings me so much peace. I've sat around a hospital bed many times over the years, and it's refreshing to see those who are faithful believers that say, listen, I know what I believe. And I've got absolute peace right now that I'm about to go see Jesus. I'm like, man, that's amazing to see that faith demonstrated in that hardest season of life. Are you following me? This God's faithfulness develops within us all these things, trust and confidence, our hope, faithfulness in our response, and peace and security. And so I ask you the question again, how big is your God? Do you trust him? Has he demonstrated that he's trustworthy to you, that he's reliable? All he has for me, and like that cheerleader up here, like, how big is our God? I want to scream. He's a great God. And like the salesman, like, I want you to give your life to the gospel. I want you to trust it wholeheartedly. Just take my word for the best decision you'll ever make in your life. God is worthy, and he's reliable, and he's trustworthy. That's what I want you to know. Because life gets hard, and it's going to get hard, and when it does, I want you and I to be standing on a foundation and say, you know what? I know that I know that I know that God's in control, and he's got this. And the world around us looks at us and goes, you guys are crazy. How can you be sane in a moment like this? You're like, I know whom I have believed in, and I am convinced that he's able to keep me. The worst thing that's going to happen is I'm going to die, and I'm going to go be with him like, bring it on. I don't know about you, but that, to me, is like, I'm on a winning team. That's good stuff. How big is your God? He's faithful. He's trustworthy. He's reliable. God's faithfulness is a profound attribute that reassures, comforts, guides us as believers. It teaches us to trust deeply in God's promises as the ultimate promise keeper, to remain hopeful in difficult times, and to emulate his faithfulness in our own lives. By embracing and reflecting on God's unwavering faithfulness, we can navigate life's challenges with confidence, with peace, knowing that we are upheld by a steadfast and loving God. How great is our God? The writer of Hebrews will tell us, you know, based on what we know in the gospel, that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice that makes way for us to be right with God. And he tells us, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. I'm talking about the hope that is in the gospel, the hope of Christ. Let us hold tightly to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Aren't you grateful for the faithfulness of God? We don't sing this song much anymore, but one of his favorite old hymns says, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Do you know, church, that we serve a faithful God? I want you to get to know him that way. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. You can place your life in his hands. And if you've not done that, then I just urge you, the most important decision you can make in your life is to trust in Jesus, right? To trust in the gospel to save you. God has made a way for you to be made right with him through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can trust him with what you've committed to him. That is your trust, your hope, your belief. in him because he is reliable, he's trustworthy. Christian, today I want you to know that you can trust him. Even when life doesn't make sense, even when you got the questions, I think he can handle the questions, by the way. Psalms are filled with, you know, David crying out to God, and it sounds kind of harsh, like, what's going on? Smash my enemies in the teeth. I've prayed those prayers, right? When life gets hard and it seems like things are overwhelming, just for us to be grounded and say, you know what? I'm not putting my hope in this false God that has not demonstrated over and over his ability to take care of me, but I'm putting my hope in God and God alone, who has demonstrated over and over in all eternity that he is and always will be a faithful, loving God. To God be the glory. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. As I said a moment ago, God, I don't think that we could truly understand the depth, the breadth of just how awesome your faithfulness is to us. Your word tells us that even when we're unfaithful, you are faithful. You're never changing. And I thank you for that, God, that your promises are yes and amen, that you don't change your mind on what you said you would do. If you speak it, you will act. And God, that gives us great confidence today as your people, knowing, Lord, that we can put our whole hope and trust in the lives that we live, that our kids, our finances, our health, we can put it all in your lap and say, God, I know that you're able. I know that you're capable. I know you love me. I know you see me. I know you feel for me. God, I know all these things are true. And so, God, I just trust you. I trust you with my life. God, I pray that there be anyone here today that has not taken that step of faith to trust you for eternity, that today would be the day that they recognize their need for your salvation. That today would be the day that they say, God, I've been running. I've been kicking the tires, so to speak, but today's the day. I want to put it all on you. I want to trust in you for my salvation. God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. For those of us that have been walking with you for some time, help us to not forget just how awesome you are. Help us to remember, Lord, what you've done on our behalf up to this point, and help that to encourage us that the God that's been faithful up to this point will continue to be faithful, will always be faithful, will never change in your faithfulness. God, we thank you that you're not like us. We thank you that you're so much greater than anything or anyone that we've ever seen or experienced, God, that you are worthy, absolutely worthy of our belief, our trust. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our worship. God, we declare that you're faithful, a faithful God. Lord, would you just help us to wrap our minds around that as we leave this place this week, as we go out in our community, just to know that. God, I know there's a lot of uncertainty in this life. There's a lot of people you can't trust. There's a lot of circumstances you can't rely on. But God, we know that we can rely on you. We can trust you because you're faithful. God, we thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.